announcements this morning. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, November 13th at 7 p.m., and we're going to be changing. We were studying the I Am statements of Jesus in the New Testament, and now we're going to be looking at the parables that Jesus taught in the New Testament and what we can learn from them. So there are some handout sheets on the back podium, so please help yourself. Even if you're not able to come, take a handout sheet. It's a great time in God's Word to even work on that study at home. The search committee is asked to meet in the prayer room following the service just for a brief meeting. And as a church family, we just need to continue to pray for God's leading to the person that He wants serving here. Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes are due this week. So if you have not prepared one and would like to, you need to get that done. Otherwise, if you have one ready, bring it in, because they are going to be handed in. It's a great, worthwhile cause. And thank you to Mary, who's coordinating the project that will bless so many people. Next Sunday, our speaker will be Mr. Stuart Cameron. So we look forward to having him. And today we're blessed to have Mr. Dan Radmore back with us. So we thank you for coming in the word that God's laid on your heart for us today. At this time, it's a Remembrance Day tomorrow, so we're just going to take a minute to take a moment of silence to remember the people that were so willing to sacrifice their lives for us to have peace in our world and in our country. So let's just at this moment take a moment of silence to reflect and remember, and then we'll go into prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you watch over this world. Lord, we thank you that you are a protector, that you love us, that you offer salvation and made the sacrifice for us to have that. Lord, we thank you as we reflect on all of the people that over the years have fought in numerous wars to bring peace and to stand for what is right. And Lord, we just thank you for the lives that it cost. We hate the fact that lives had to be taken in order for good to prevail. But Lord, we also thank you that people were so willing to make that sacrifice for us. We thank you for the peace that we've had in our lifetime and not having to go to war and serve. But Lord, there's still turmoil in so many places in our world. And Lord, we just pray for peace. We pray for peace in North America, but we pray for peace all over the world. Lord, we thank you for your gift of salvation. And Lord, we thank you that we are free to come and worship. There's no restrictions. There's no persecution for us here. And so, Lord, we pray for people all over the world that are faced with persecution, that are not free to come to church and worship you. So, Lord, we just pray for them at this time, that you'll protect them, that you will help them to continue to be witnesses for you, and, Lord, that you will change leaders in this world to bring in people that will love and follow you and change the way things operate in some of the countries within our world. Lord, we know you have the power to change all things, so we lay these requests at your feet as we think today of the peace that we have, but at the price that it costs for us to have it. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus and the salvation that we have only because of his death on the cross. And Lord, we just thank you for that free gift. And Lord, help us to be bold and vocal and sharing that message of salvation with others. We're all surrounded by people in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces that need to hear that message. So Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to be not afraid to speak up and share that. Let people know the need for a Savior and that what a difference it will make in their life. Lord, we just thank you for this church, that you've been so faithful for these years without a pastor. We thank you for each speaker that so faithfully and willingly comes to preach your word. Lord, we thank you that each person that comes preaches from your word. And we just thank you that we can't express how grateful we are, because people are amazed that we've been serving and worshiping here for all this time without a pastor. But Lord, you have provided for our needs. You've been faithful. And Lord, we just continue to lay our requests at your feet, that you bring us to the person that you would have serving here as the pastor. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for this neighborhood and the people that are in the neighborhood. Lord, we just ask that you give us ways to be more effective. A food package to a home in our neighborhood was much appreciated that when it was delivered yesterday. But Lord, we just pray for more opportunities to reach out to the community, to provide for needs that there are. Needs that we may not even be aware of, but Lord, you can make those known to us. And as a church family, Lord, we just want to reach out in tangible ways to be able to share your love and the gospel message. Lord, we just thank you for each person in our church family. And Lord, we know that there are some health issues. Lord, we just pray for Carol and Jim, and we just lift up Borden and Monica. Lord, we pray for Mary, for Sylvia. Lord, you know the needs that are in our congregation. We sometimes don't even know if the need isn't spoken out. But Lord, you know those needs, and you can meet those needs. So Lord, we just ask that you will bless each person that's part of this church family, that you will bring healing where it's needed, and meet the needs that we don't know about. Lord, we just thank you for anybody that's away this weekend and traveling. We ask for traveling mercies. And Lord, we just know that you are able to protect and care for each person that's traveling. So we just lay these concerns at your feet. Lord, we just ask that as we continue in our worship today, that you will bless Dan as he preaches your word. Lord, we thank you for his witness and for the message that you've laid on his heart. Lord, we just pray that as we continue in worship, that our focus will be on you alone, and that we will receive a message directly from you, and that words in the music and words in the scripture that's read will bring life and speak out to us, and that we will not only hear it today, but we will go forth and share it after the service is over as well. So Lord, be with us as we continue in this worship. May everything that's said and spoken and every word that we sing be just honoring and pleasing to you alone. And I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to continue in some worship, and we're going to start with Thy Word.
I actually was away this past week for the entire week, and my flight was actually scheduled for late last night. And so, with a little tiny bit of worry that something could happen, Stuart's your speaker next week. I talked to Stuart and Mark Morris. I think he's been here speaking to you. And I said, guys, you just get a sermon ready, because it's possible I won't make it back. So you can tell Stuart you're glad you still got me instead of him for this week, okay? You got him next week, and that'll be just enough of him, okay? You let him know that. Stuart's a good friend of mine. Love Stuart very much. I'm glad he's going to be with you here next week. Hey, listen, let's just have a word of prayer together as we kind of get into this. God, we give you thanks for how good you are. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your word. And we pray, God, that you would unpack it for us this morning as we just kind of look deep into it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been caught in a few storms over the years. I don't know if you guys have been or not, but one that stands out to me is one that happened when I was up north of Parry Sound. My family, my wife's family, has always had sort of a family cottage up there that we go to, and they all come. And when I say family comes, like, I mean the entire stinking family comes to this cottage, right? It's like an army of relatives show up to this place, and it kind of turns into a family reunion every time we go up to this cottage. But to get to the cottage, you get there by land, and then there's about a 45-minute boat ride to get over to the actual cottage. The only way to get there is on this boat ride. And so the first day of this particular year, we're up there, and we kind of get unloaded and unpacked, and I'm kind of ready to relax. And I walk out to the dock, and things begin to take a turn for the not-so-relaxing. My brother-in-law was out. My wife's brother was just getting ready to kind of cross the water. He was just getting into the boat, and my niece, she was out in a canoe, kind of hanging out in the water a little bit, and then this storm hit. And it wasn't just kind of any kind of storm, right? This was one of those, like, green sky, thunder rumbling, lightning striking, kind of like, out of an action movie kind of storm. You know what I'm talking about? Like one of those really big storms. And I had sort of the bigger boat, and so all of a sudden I become Captain Rescue. And I take another brother-in-law of mine, we get into the boat, and we have to go find these two because, like, this is a bad storm, and these guys can't be out there. And so we kind of head out, and we find my niece kind of clinging to a rock. She had gotten her way out of the canoe, and she was up on a rock, and she was kind of clinging to this canoe and just kind of hoping that somebody would come by and rescue her. And then we had to go out and find my brother-in-law. And as I said, it's about a 45-minute boat ride, particularly in the boat that he was in. We finally get out to him, and he had barely left the dock, and he was the landing, and he was clinging to this little dock on somebody's cottage, just, again, praying that he'd make it through the storm alive. And this was a big storm. And to be honest, I was a little scared. I think we were all a little bit scared. It got me thinking, I wonder, how about you? How many have you ever been caught in, like, a really big storm? Anybody caught in a big storm? Some of you have been, yeah. Some of you know what I'm talking about, one that kind of scares you. So today, we're going to talk about storms, but not ones that come in the skies, but ones that come in our lives by way of crisis. And I think this topic impacts all of us, right? It touches all. At some point in our lives, we will all go through a crisis. Right? We will live through a storm. The reality is that we will all face storms that challenge our faith and shake our lives. And maybe for somebody here today, maybe you're going through one of those storms right now. I just want to define a storm or a crisis for you. It's this: a storm or a crisis could be anything in your life where there's a circumstance where for some reason you don't feel like you're in control and you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't feel like you're in control, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. And I'm not sure what it is for you. Maybe it's a rejection, a disappointment, a failure, a major loss of some kind, depression, some kind of uncertainty, an illness. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you're like, and you're not going through a storm. In fact, for you, you would say life seems pretty calm. Everything kind of seems to be in its proper place. I just want to encourage you to not dismiss the importance of what we're going to talk about today. Because even if you're not in a storm now, the truth is, the reality is, we will all face difficult days in our life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But also, perhaps, God has placed you in this calm season for a reason. Perhaps he's equipping you to help somebody else who's in the middle of their storm. Right? It's possible that God's calling you to be the hands and feet of Christ to somebody else who is struggling. So don't dismiss it, even if you find yourself in a place of calmness at this time in your life. The question for us today that we're going to look at is, how do you endure a crisis? How do you get through to the other side? How do you remain unshakable when everything around you seems to be falling apart? Because, see, I think that for many of us, we really don't know how to deal with crisis when it comes. Right? Sometimes we feel hopeless. Maybe we feel helpless. We feel stuck. We don't know how we're going to get through it. And very often what happens is it causes damage in our own lives and sometimes even in the lives of people around us. And what's so sad about it is that Jesus said that we don't have to carry this alone. Right? We don't have to go through a crisis on our own, that he wants to help carry the burdens that we have, and he wants to help to get us through to the other side. Listen to what he said. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. And this is not our primary passage, but it's one I just want to draw your attention to. Matthew 11, 29 and 30, it says, "Come to me," you know this verse, "come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is Jesus. This is what Jesus wants to do for us. The burdens that you carry, the troubles that you go through, we have a God who is not this kind of far-off, distant God that's not aware of our circumstances or not involved in our lives. But no, he is involved. He's tuned in to what's going on in our lives. And he wants to help you carry the weight of the burdens that you carry. I said we're going to look at a different passage this morning. The main passage that we're going to look at today is Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 to 33. And before we kind of get into that, I want to set the story up for you a little bit, right? Jesus had been teaching to the 5,000, and the people begin to get hungry, as you can imagine, right? You hang around in one spot for a length of time, eventually the people are going to get hungry. And so they get hungry, and so Jesus does this really cool miracle where he takes a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread, and he multiplies it, and he feeds the 5,000. And everybody is amazed, and they're like, this is really cool. This is like this crazy miracle that Jesus just did. But when it's all over, what Jesus does is he takes the disciples, and he wants to get them away from the crowd. And he puts them on a boat and he says this. He says, guys, I want you to get into this boat and I want you to sail to the other side and I'm going to meet you over there. And this wouldn't have been all that unusual for the disciples, right? This would have been sort of a common way that they would have traveled. Many of these guys were professional fishermen, so this was kind of normal life for them. Many of them had spent their life on a boat. But this particular journey on this particular day was going to be very different. Because that night, when they are sailing across the water, they encounter a storm. And that's where we pick up the story. Let's start it at Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. It's up on the screen, but if you got your Bibles, you can turn to it. Matthew chapter 14, 24, it says this. "And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear." I mean, this is a bad situation, right? These guys are going through a crisis. They're in a storm. They're afraid. But they get this kind of double dose of crisis in their life because here they're scared for their life. It's dark. The waves are crashing in. The wind is blowing. And on top of all of that, they see this guy walking on the water, right? And they get a little freaked out. Let's pick it back up. It says this. "But Jesus immediately says to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come onto the water, to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So these guys are going through a storm. They're going through a crisis, if you will. None of them will ever forget that day. We have days like that, don't we? Days that were hard. Days that were scary. Maybe days that you wish you didn't have to live through. Days you wish you forgot or you could forget. Maybe some of you are going through some of those days right now. What I want to do for the next little bit is I want to give you five things that you need to know when you're going through a crisis. Five things that you really need to know. And the first thing is this. The first thing you need to understand, you need to know when you're going through a crisis, is that even in obedience, storms will come. I want to make it really clear at the very beginning. Just because you're obedient to Jesus does not mean you're going to be spared adversity and pain and difficulties in this life. You need to know that right away. I think what's happened is a lot of us have convinced ourselves, or maybe somebody else has convinced you or sort of dangled this carrot in front of you and said, hey, if you follow Jesus, if you give your life to God, and if you are obedient to Him, then your life is going to be smooth sailing. And it's just not the reality. Right? Life is sometimes tough for everyone, including Christians. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. He's talking to these guys, and he says, I want you to do this. I want you to get into the boat, and I want you to head over to the other side. Right? Very clear instructions from Jesus. And the disciples do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. They get into the boat, they head off, and they take off for the other side. I mean, they were not guessing on what Jesus' plans were for them that day. He spoke very clear words to them. In fact, if you go back, we didn't read it, but if you go back to verse 22 of chapter 14, it says Jesus made them get into the boat and go to the other side. But in obeying Jesus, they come up against one of the worst storms they've ever been in. Right? And this moment has all of the elements of crisis that we talked about earlier. They didn't know, they didn't feel like they were in control, and they didn't know how it was going to turn out. The disciples were exhausted. There was this bad storm. They were terrified. They were too far from shore. They'd been struggling with the storm all night. They didn't stand a chance against the size of the storm. I wonder if that's how you feel. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel like you're too far from shore. You feel too far from a solution. Maybe you feel like you've been too long in the struggle. Maybe it's been too long in the court system, too long in the hospital, too long without a good friend. Maybe you feel too small against the waves, you know, maybe too alone. That storm controlled the disciples, just like storms sometimes dominate our lives as well. But just because you're in a storm, just because you're going through a difficulty or a crisis in your life, does not mean that you're outside of God's will. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that you did anything wrong. But let me be clear, right? Sometimes we do things that are wrong that put us into difficult days, right? Let's be clear about that. The consequences of some of the things that we do will sometimes bring pain in our lives. But just because you're in a crisis doesn't necessarily mean you did anything wrong, right? God may have you exactly where He wants you to be. Sometimes the process God needs you to go through isn't one that's easy. In fact, sometimes the path that God needs you to walk could be the most difficult and the most troublesome path at all. Right? Storms shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Jesus had already told the disciples in a different passage, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, the Christian isn't invited to believe that a storm will possibly come. The Christian is promised that there will be days of crisis. There will be storms. There will be days of struggle. Jesus sent them into the storm, but that didn't mean that He had abandoned them, right? We will face pain and setbacks and difficulties, and it doesn't mean that God is distant. It might actually mean He's closer now than He's ever been. I just want to sort of pause here for just a moment, because I wonder if we need to rethink how we view storms in our lives. And bear with me for a moment. Many of us would rather avoid crisis, right? Hands up. How many of us would rather avoid that? All of us, right? All of us would rather avoid crisis. But ask somebody who's gone through a storm, and what you'll often hear is, I wouldn't change a thing. Right? While the experience itself wasn't good, it was unpleasant. It's not what I would have wanted. But the growth and the transformation on the other side is often priceless. Because it's in the storm that many of us encounter God in ways that we've never encountered him before. But just because we're in a storm doesn't mean that God is distant. It doesn't mean that he's far off. It might mean that he's closer now than he's ever been. So, number one, even in obedience, storms will come. Number two, the second thing that you need to know when you're going through a crisis is crisis reminds us of God's promises. Right, let's take a closer look at what's going on in this passage. Again, in verse 22, it says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Think about that. Jesus himself gave them the instructions to go to the other side. I love what Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who, by the way, some of the structure of today's message kind of comes from some of his work, but I love what how he puts it. He says this, if the creator of the wind and the rain and the seas tells you to go to the other side, there's a pretty good chance you're going to make it to the other side, right? Sure, the storms were frightening, but if the disciples had truly held on to Jesus' words, they would have realized that they weren't going to drown. Right? Jesus had told them to go to the other side. He was going to meet them there. But the reality is this. When you're in the middle of a storm, sometimes it's hard to think clearly, isn't it? Even when we know God's promises, fear has a way of clouding our judgment. And that's what happened to the disciples. Jesus had told them to go to the other side, but in the face of the storm, they had forgot his words and they became overwhelmed by their immediate situation. Right? The storm didn't change the fact that they were going to make it to the other side. It just made them forget. And isn't that what happens to us too? Right? When we're going through a crisis, whether it's a health scare, a broken relationship, a financial hardship, it's easy to forget God's promises because we're consumed by the struggle that's right in front of us. Here's the crucial point. The crisis doesn't change God's promises, but it ought to push us toward them. It ought to drive us to remember them. Right? In the middle of the storm, the disciples needed to be reminded of what Jesus had said, and we're the same way. When life is tough, we need to dig deep. We need to remember the promises that God made to us, not because the storm is going to suddenly disappear, but because his promises, and get this, remember this, write this down if you're taking notes, we need to remember them because his promises are what anchor us through the storms that we go through. Right? Promises like this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. It's a promise of God's presence, that he's there, that he's walking with us, and that his presence is enough. How about Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or how about Psalm 46, verse 1? God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I could go on and on and on. The scriptures are full of promises like these that God has made to us. But don't take my word for it. Take a moment. Get into the scriptures. Kind of search the scriptures for yourself. Right? There will give you strength to not just survive the storm, but to come out the other side stronger. So there are times when we're going through a storm when we need to remember the promises of God. And third, we need to know that when we're going through a crisis, that God sees us even when we can't see him. Right? It was the middle of the night. The disciples found themselves caught in this terrible storm. It was dark. Jesus was nowhere around. They couldn't call on him to calm their fears like they had done before. They couldn't wake him up like they had done in a previous storm, you might remember. Right? Jesus wasn't physically there, but while they couldn't see him, Jesus never lost sight of them. He knew their exact location. He knew the severity of the storm. He knew the depths of their fear. Right? And I just want to say this morning that the same is true for us. There are moments in our lives where we will feel overwhelmed by the darkness. And maybe you've asked, you know, where is God? Maybe you cried out to him and say, where are you when there's been some kind of loss or when there's been pain or when there's confusion? When life is chaotic, it can feel as if God is absent. But we must remember that our perspective is limited, right? While we may not see him clearly, Jesus is fully aware of our circumstances, no matter what it is that we're going through. Psalm 139, verse 3 says this, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Nothing escapes God's attention." Job, you might remember the story of Job. After he endured this incredible difficulties in his life, incredible, unimaginable suffering, right? But he could still say with confidence in Job chapter 23, verse 10, he says, "He knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job believed that even in the midst of the most difficult situations, even in the midst of all of his trials, God was not only watching him, but God was guiding him through this refining process. When you face uncertainty in your marriage, in your job, your health, your family, whatever storm you're weathering, you need to know that Jesus knows what you're going through. His eyes are on you, even when your faith is weak. Right? We may not always see Jesus, but he always sees us. And that brings us to the next point, point number four. In the midst of a crisis, not only does he see us, but we need to expect him to show up. Expect Jesus to show up. If you remember anything that I tell you this morning, remember this point. When you're going through a crisis, no matter what it is, expect Jesus to show up. The passage says that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples see him coming, the passage says they were terrified and they cried out in fear, "It's a ghost!" What were they expecting? They weren't expecting Jesus, clearly. And I think very often this is the case for us. In the midst of a crisis, it's easy for us to forget God's power. Right? And I know it sounds simplistic and simple, but if we're not focused, it's easy for us to lose hope in the midst of a crisis. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Right? But our faith must be intentional. It must be deliberate. It must be direct. We need to expect that Jesus is going to show up into our circumstance. Listen to this. This is really important. Before Jesus calms the storm, he shows up in the middle of the storm. Right? And he says to us what he says to them in verse 27. He says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus says, "I am here. You don't need to be afraid because I am with you." Somebody said this, "Where Jesus is, fear is unwarranted." Isn't that true? Jesus is telling them, "I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. I'm very much aware of what you need, and I'm here with you." And I believe that right now, all over this room, there are some of you who are going through some stuff. There are people in this room this morning, you're going through a crisis. You're in a storm. And I believe Jesus is saying to you, "I am here. It is I. I am here. You don't need to be afraid. I'm with you." Do you know what the literal translation of verse 27 is when he says, "It is I"? And I just heard you guys were studying the I am statements. The literal translation of saying "it is I" is actually "I am." And what you know, if you studied the word "I am," you know that it means it's God's name. He's saying that's who he is. I am. Right? And so, you've heard this before as well, right? When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, God introduced himself as what? In Exodus chapter 3, he says, "I am who I am." Like, I am God. I'm the God of the universe. God introduces himself that way. And so you see, from the center of the storm, you got to check this out. This is really cool stuff. From the center of the storm, Jesus shouts out to them, "I am." He's declaring his sovereignty in the situation. Whatever storm you're going through, Jesus says to you this morning, "I am. I'm declaring my sovereignty over that situation. Whatever situation you're going through. When you wonder, is God coming? Jesus says, I am. Right? When you wonder, is God able? Do you know what Jesus says? I am. When you see that nothing but darkness and you feel nothing but doubt and you wonder, if is God near? Is God aware of what's really going on? The answer that Jesus always brings is, I am. I am. I want you to pause for a moment. Just think about that for a second. Let that sink in. Your greatest need today, and when you're going through any kind of crisis, your greatest need is Jesus' presence. And I know you want the storm to pass. I know you want the storm to be over. But what you need to know, what you must know, is that the God of the universe is present in your circumstance. So finally, what you need to understand when you're going through a crisis, number 5, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter's in the boat with all of the other disciples. And if you know anything about Peter, Peter's known as somebody who kind of speaks before he thinks, right? Anybody know somebody like that? Right? Maybe you're somebody like that. Sometimes I'm like that. But Peter speaks before he thinks, and it often gets him into trouble, but it also allows him to experience things that nobody else ever gets a chance to experience. And so he sees Jesus coming toward him, and he hears Jesus say, it is I. And so he responds to this. He says, well, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus responds with one word, and I love it. He just says, come. And with remarkable faith, in the middle of the storm, now think about this, in the middle of the storm, the wind is raging, the waves are pounding, Peter steps out of the boat. And it's easy to criticize Peter for what happens next, but just stay with me for a moment here. Right? Think about the faith. Think about the trust that Peter is displaying in Jesus here. None of the other disciples were willing to get out of the boat, only Peter. And he did it again, not once the storm passed, because that would have been big enough, right? Just walking on water. But he does it in the middle of the storm. What would it be like to have that kind of faith? To trust Jesus in the middle of the storm. To take your eyes off of your circumstances and place them on Jesus. To trust that he's going to get you through. What would it be like to have that kind of faith? To trust that Jesus has a plan to use whatever difficult situation you might be going through for his glory and for your good. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through something. I believe that Jesus is calling out to you today and asking you to get out of the boat. To place your eyes on Jesus, to take your eyes off of your circumstance, place them on Jesus, and get out of the boat. Do you know what very often we do in the middle of a difficult season in our life? We turn to other things. We turn to things that might distract us, things that would numb us, things that we hope will take away some of the pain, alcohol, drugs, other forms of escapism, retail therapy, right? And those things don't work, not very well. And so what happens is we just drink more. We take more drugs. We shop more. We eat. We try to sleep it away. We do whatever we can think of doing so we don't have to face the feelings that we feel while we're going through dark days. But Jesus says, no, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. What does it mean? What does it mean to keep our eyes on Jesus? I love the way Jesus works, by the way. I didn't tell Dawn what we were. Well, I didn't give her any passages that we were speaking on today, but the one that she used today is the one that I'm going to share with you right now. What does it mean to keep our eyes on Jesus? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Just the opposite of how we normally live our lives, isn't it? At least how I normally live mine. Right? What I do is I trust myself with all of my heart. Right? I trust myself with everything I've got. But keeping our eyes on Jesus means trusting the Lord with all of our heart, recognizing that his understanding of things far surpasses our ability to understand things. Right? It's acknowledging him in every situation, even when we can't see the full picture, because we believe that his ways are far better than our ways. That's what it means to keep our eyes on Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This takes us back to what I said earlier about how people that I often talk to would say, you know, when they're going through a situation, say, yeah, it was tough. It was really hard to go through that crisis. But when I get to the other side, they say, I wouldn't have it any other way. In other words, what God did in my life and through me when I got to the other side of the struggle was worth the struggle. I didn't know it at the time, right? Very often that's what we'd say. I didn't know when I was going through it. I didn't want to have to go through it. But boy, the way God taught me and the things that I learned and the person that I am today was worth the struggle. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, interrupts this moment that's going on here with Peter walking on the water. Jesus is out there and Peter's walking on the water, and it interrupts this whole thing with one word, the word but. Right? And y'all know what's coming. Right? Peter was walking towards Jesus. He's walking on top of the water. He's walking on the waves and the wind and all that kind of stuff. But what happens is he starts noticing the circumstances around him. He starts looking around. He starts noticing how strong the wind was. He starts noticing how big the waves were. He starts noticing how violent the storm was, and he begins to be afraid. He takes his eyes off Jesus and instead focuses on his circumstances. And Matthew says, Peter was afraid, and he began to sink. How many times do we do this? There's implications for our daily living. Focus on Jesus, the simple stuff though. Focus on Jesus, and we have the ability to walk through the storms of life with confidence and peace, no matter how bad the winds are, no matter how bad the waves are. When our eyes are on him, we're reminded that he's in control and that he's promising us to never leave us nor forsake us. But here's the incredible truth. The storm doesn't have to end for us to experience his peace. Right? Focusing on Jesus doesn't mean that the wind and the waves and all that stuff instantly disappears. It means that in the middle of the storm, we find the strength, we find the courage and the direction that we need to be able to get through. Right? Trusting Jesus that he's in control. But on the other hand, when we take our eyes off Jesus and we fixate on the problems and we fixate on the fears and the what ifs, we wake up in the night and we worry, right? We don't even think about talking to God in those situations. We just get fixated on the problem. We just get fixated on the situation. And we begin, just like Peter, we begin to sink. And I 100% guarantee you that everybody in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. We become overwhelmed by the challenges. We become overwhelmed by the weight of anxiety and doubt, and those things begin to drag us down, and just like Peter, we sink. And so, my encouragement to you today is this. Every day, in whatever situation you're facing, the challenge is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't let the size of the waves or the force of the wind dictate your faith. You hear what I mean when I say that? Because I think what happens is those things, those circumstances, they begin to dictate our faith sometimes. When all we do is fixate on those, they become the things that control what we really believe. And we're encouraged to not do that, to allow our focus to be on Jesus and let that be the dictator of our faith. What happens is this. We want God to show us a way out of the suffering, right? Out of whatever crisis that we're going through. But instead, what happens is Jesus shows us a way through. Jesus came into human history. God took on flesh and blood. He allowed himself to be beaten and brutalized and crucified on a cross. He took on the greatest suffering. See, Jesus didn't run from the suffering. He leaned into the suffering so that when you suffer, whatever it is you're going through, when you experience pain, when you experience wounding, when you feel your soul is broken, and when you're going through whatever it is, and you cry out to God, you're like, why, God? Why do I have to go through all this stuff? Jesus took on suffering so that you can know the God who steps into our suffering. That's what happens. He steps into our situation to meet us there so that we can rise above the pain and we can make it through. We can be healed from our wounds because he is the God who has taken our wounds, and through those wounds that he took on, we become healed. That's who Jesus is. He's come to meet you in your pain. He's come to meet you in your disappointment. He's come to meet you in whatever it is you are going through. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, he says. Who could have imagined a God like this? One who would join us in our suffering, taking on the weight of the world on himself. I love it when Peter steps out of the boat. He's responding to the same invitation that we see here in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus simply says, come. Come. Perhaps this morning, somebody here this morning, Jesus is saying to you, come. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Maybe this morning, somebody here, Jesus is saying, come. Come, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You don't have to carry it alone. Your pain might not go away. Your struggle might not go away. But Jesus promises to walk you through it. And I just want to say here this morning, with your eyes are closed, you know, perhaps there's somebody in the room and you would say, you know what? Yeah, that's me. I'm going through some stuff right now. And it's hard. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, come. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you or center you out. I just want you to put your hand up so I can pray for you. Anybody in the room? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Wow, all over the place. Yeah, thank you back there. I see you. Yeah, there's a lot of people going through stuff this morning. Listen, I just want to pray for you this morning. God, we come to you. We thank you for being the kind of God that you are. A God who loves us, a God who is present in our circumstances, a God who cares for us. And Father, I pray that you, that we would be the kind of people that wouldn't fixate on the things that are going on in our lives, but we would fixate on you. All over this room, Lord, there are people who raise their hand. And so that means there are people who are going through stuff today. Maybe they're in a crisis, people who are struggling. And I don't know what it is, but you do, Jesus. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's been loss. Loss of a loved one. Loss of a dream. Father, I don't know what the situation is this morning, but again, you do. And I just pray, God, that you would come, that you would make yourself near, that you would make yourself real in those circumstances. And God, I believe that you are saying to them today, come, step out of the boat. Trust me in your circumstance. Trust me in whatever it is you're going through. Father, so I pray, God, that even today, every step that we take, every step that each of us take as we walk away from this moment, that we would walk closer to you. And that as in doing so, God, that you would begin to heal some hurts. You would carry us through. You promised, you said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God, there are some of us this morning that we need you to carry those burdens for us. There are some people here in this room, their hands went up high and fast. And so they need you to carry these burdens. And so this morning, we collectively trust that you'll do that. We lift them to you, God, and we ask that you would help carry us through, that you would walk us through. Lord, we do. We pray. We pray that you would end the crisis. Make the crisis be gone. But if that's not in your plan, if you have things that you still need to work in through us, that you want to, there's things that you want to change in us, God, there's still things that you need to do, then we pray, God, that you would just help us through the situation. whatever it is. And we just want to say this morning, we love you, God. We love the fact that you are walking with us and that you are that kind of Jesus. And so, Father, we trust you this morning. We do. We trust you with our pain. We trust you with our hurt. And we ask that you would walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen.